The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
I want to thank you for the invitation to be with you this morning. My special thanks and appreciation to my colleague, President Wenthy. And I bring greetings to all of you from your brothers and sisters at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. I know a man, and in fact, he is a United States senator, who does not like to identify himself as a Christian. Instead, he likes to identify himself as a follower of Jesus. And my own mind can picture following Jesus much more readily than my little mind can get around that abstract notion of being a Christian. And in fact, that's the way Jesus presents it to us also. Mark chapter 8, verse 34, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This morning's gospel has us following Jesus into the city, and it's quite a trip. It's Monday of Holy Week. Jesus, in the morning, commutes into the city from the suburb of Bethany. And on the way, he's hungry. Now, you and I might go through the drive-in at McDonald's, but he couldn't do that. So he went up to a fig tree. What do you mean you don't have any figs? Never mind that it is not the season for the tree to be bearing fruit. He curses the fig tree. Whoa. N.T. Wright says that the incident is a dramatic parable of judgment coming upon the temple institution. First of all, judgment comes upon the temple and its leadership because they have become worldly political players and are not serving God's good purposes to all people. Secondly, judgment comes upon the temple and its sacrificial system because the temple's sacrificial system was inadequate compared to the sacrifice that was going to happen a few days later once and for all for the forgiveness of our sins for life and eternal salvation. So the drama continues. Jesus finishes the commute, and he goes to work on the Temple Mount and dramatically cleans out the temple courtyard, a sign of judgment. And now, when the day's work is done, Jesus and the disciples leave the city, and they go back into the burbs. And the next morning, the Bible tells us that they got up again and returned to the city. And as they were making that commute the next morning, they happened to notice a fig tree totally withered. And Jesus used it as a teaching opportunity. Have faith in God, Jesus tells the disciples. Have faith in God. The promises of God to you are worthy of your trust. Have faith in God. Don't rely on this world's political power systems. Rely on the promises of God. Don't put your trust in political machinations in the church. Would such a thing ever happen? Rely on the promises of God. Don't put your trust in the economy, in Wall Street or corporations. Don't put your trust in military prowess. They all have their legitimate place in our earthly life. But their place is temporary, and the promises of earthly political power systems are not ultimately satisfying. Jesus says, have faith in God. And when you have faith in God, and don't rely on the power systems of this world, Jesus says, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, and he's not talking about physical mountains, remember, he's commuting to the Temple Mount, the center of power systems in that day. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe, that is, trust the promises of God, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. When we are faced in our lives with the power systems of this broken and sinful world, Jesus says you can face that opposition, have faith in God. And then he adds one more thing. Don't build your own power system by being self-righteous. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. We face the power systems of this world, this broken and sinful world, and they intimidate us. And the message of forgiveness is that we should not retreat to our own self-constructed, self-righteous sense of power. So we follow Jesus. And I have learned, as you have learned, that following Jesus brings us many wonderful things. Following Jesus brings forgiveness in our guilt. Following Jesus brings comfort in our sorrow. It brings hope when the things of this world would drive us to despair. But this morning, I find following Jesus is a stiff challenge. This past spring, I was asked to serve on an advisory committee for urban ministry in Chicago. And I was very glad to do that, having been raised in the Chicago area. And I'm told that some years ago, decades ago, over 60,000 people worshiped every Sunday in congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the city of Chicago. Over 60,000. Today, the number is under 5,000. Under 5,000 people worship at our gospel churches in that great city of Chicago with over 3 million people. Under 5,000 in a city of people and families and neighborhoods that go up against the power systems of this sinful and broken world. I would ask you and pray that the Spirit bless the meditation in your heart, that as we this morning are challenged by Jesus taking a word of judgment to the power structures of his day, that as you contemplate following Jesus in your future life and, God willing, in your future ministry, that you would consider going into the cities where there are millions and millions of people just like you and me with but one difference. They don't know the goodness of God and the eternal perspective that he won by his death and pours out upon us by his resurrection. Jesus commuted. He returned to the city. Shouldn't we? Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.